gonna give my testimony real quick, and then I've got a short little lesson of exhortation. And the exhortation is gonna be about how to share things with others, how to share particularly doctrine with others. So I was saved at 24, so it was about 6 years ago here in Austin, and my now wife, then friend, and a buddy of mine that I used to play music with were the first Christians I had ever met who were able to get personal with me about it. They, you know, it wasn't just clean yourself up and go to church. They actually were able to tell me why they believed, how they saw themselves, how God sees them for the sinners that they were, and how they found that salvation in Jesus Christ. This is prior to dispensational understanding. None of us had it at the time. But the gospel was clearly preached by both Kelly and my friend Sean, to me, that I might believe it. And, after hearing mainly from my buddy Sean, it was about 2 years of playing with him before I finally saw myself in the proper light. I finally saw myself as that sinner and saw salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. I remember it. I was in my loft down in South Austin, and I got on my knees, prayed, and admittedly I had been drinking a little bit at the time too. And just, after looking at the world and seeing that every problem man solves creates five more problems, and like seeing just how nothing I did was ever selflessly motivated. It was always selfish. And I saw myself as wicked. Got on my knees, asked Christ to save me. And was like, your blood's it. That's the way I can reconcile with you. I accept that. I believe that. And I was saved that night. Hopped in the shower and baptized myself. For whatever that was worth. maybe I just needed a shower. So since then, I started studying. I attended a very large church here in town, which is actually the only church I've really ever attended on any kind of regular basis. Got really frustrated with that church when the worship service was going 45 minutes at the beginning of the service. Announcements went for another 15 minutes for a wimpy little 15 minute message, followed by another 25 minutes of singing with hands in the air. Needless to say, we were starving. And we're so grateful when, actually Sandra, now Archibald, she introduced us to Dwayne and started getting us studying our Bibles properly, and I started listening to messages from Scott Mitchell and Jerry, eventually ended up meeting and then studying personally with those men. Started reading the King James Bible, praise God, which fortunately both Kelly and my buddy Sean were both strong King James advocates, which I'm also very grateful for. I was reading the New Living for a while, which I go back and read it. Now we're here working on getting Austin Saints together, getting a congregation to happen among a fairly good number of brethren in this area that just never see each other. And one of the biggest issues I see among us is that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You start understanding your Bible, you start thinking you know things. You start wanting really badly to show these things to people who you don't think know them. And so I'd like to start in Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, "As for the and every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offering shalt thou offer salt. So we're seeing here that if you're making an offering to the Lord and it's solid food, it must needs have salt on it. You will not suffer it to be without. And I see a very interesting, and I will come to the verses, but keep in mind meat, the offering up of meat. We can see in Job, we turn to Job 6:6. I'm pretty sure I'm going to fly through all this. I'm learning.
Back in Leviticus, what verse was that?
2:13. Then we're going to go to Job 6:6. We're looking at salt and meat. In Job 6:6, it says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" Looking at Leviticus and this verse, something about it is meat unsavory? Well, it certainly can be. And right here, Job is saying, "Can you even? Will you even suffer to eat something that hasn't been salted? Will you even put that in your mouth and chew on it for a while?" I'm not quite sure the purpose of, is there any taste of in the bite of an egg, but, if you're not going to put anything on it, it's either going to be, unsavory or tasteless if you're not putting salt upon it. In Luke 14:34, our Lord actually talks about salt as well. And he says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned?" Meaning that, essentially, don't let your salt lose its saltness, as I believe he says in one of the other accounts of this. You make sure you're using good, true salt, that it may be eaten, that it may be acceptable. And now we're going to get into the real meat of what I'm seeing here, and I'm wanting to use this idea of meat as deeper things of God. Heavier doctrinal issues. And we can see that if we look in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reasons of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:2 actually refers to meatier doctrine as meat. He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." So Paul does make a direct application calling these heavier ideas meat. This establishes that there is milk and meat regarding the things Paul has to tell them. Milk clearly being fundamental information for the babes in Christ, and meat by which Paul states they are yet unable to process, understand, and be edified. Using this idea, I feel shed some really interesting light in pretty much the entire chapter of Romans 14, which is about eating meat off of the idols. And I realize in the context, it's actually talking about eating food. But I feel looking at it with this understanding of meat as doctrine, it really can help us in our walk, particularly if we look in verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. If you are trying to teach someone something and you're just beating them over the head with, and it may be great truth, but you're not being charitable about it, about how you're presenting it to them, it says right here, destroy not him with thy meat. Clearly saying that you can destroy a brother with meat. And I don't think that, well, I certainly don't believe that means you can cost someone their salvation. I don't believe any of us have that power. but you can certainly make them worthless. You can keep them from going out and sharing things. You can confound them, make them, and I feel like the word destroy, if you look through scripture, oftentimes doesn't mean to, obliterate, but it's to make useless, to make worthless, to tear down, and to where no good can be done by them any longer. In verse 20, same chapter, for meat destroy not the work of God. These heavier, meatier doctrines, again, aren't going to cost someone their salvation. It might end up saving someone, but as we've spoken of, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Oftentimes, eating this meat can make you fat, puff you up. Not necessarily build anyone up, but make you think you're somewhat. And of those kinds of people, if we look in Philippians 3:19, we see a interesting verse about these kinds of people who get puffed up. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. As I was saying, puffed up, getting fat, you're feeding your belly, you're feeding yourself by believing you have this knowledge and this understanding. And not only might you destroy your brother with your meat, your end will also be destruction if you're puffing yourself up with the knowledge you gain. And I've mentioned these verses from Hebrews, but I'd like to touch on them again. Hebrews 5:14 demonstrates how one is to use such meat. And in this context, it's very clearly talking about weightier doctrinal matters. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What that also says to me is that it's not a matter of just knowing this doctrine by reason of use, it's walking in it. It's having enough understanding to put it into work in your life to the point to where you can actually discern good and evil. And I understand who Hebrews is written to, but I feel that this truth is clearly transdispensational. I feel that definitely applies. If we actually look in the verse right before, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You need to be skilled in your word of righteousness. And that comes not only from study, but from, walking therein, acknowledging the truth and walking in it. Let's turn to Colossians 4:6, and this is kind of the capstone verse of the whole message here. I appreciate you bearing with me today. This is definitely a first for me.
I'm sorry, where are we going?
Colossians 4, verse 6. Well, I'm going to start in verse 5 because it kind of went with what I was just saying. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Tying that right back into the verse I started in Leviticus, no meat is to be offered without salt. No weighty doctrine is to be offered without grace, without charity. Seasoning your speech alway with grace. Not always, alway. We love the King James Bible for such words. You are to present and offer up those meteor doctrines. And I feel that teaching someone such things is an offering to God. You know, offering, you are preaching truth to a brother or a potential brother, we'll say of a lost person who you hope to be saved. It will be ineffective and to beat them over the head with stuff they're not going to understand because they don't have the Spirit of God. And if you're presenting it in such a way without this salt, that you, it's going to fall on deaf ears. They're not going to be able to chew it. They're not going to think about it later. They're just going to write you off as a jerk. When it really comes down to it, they'll be like, well, that guy thinks he's someone. And I see this over and over and over again, particularly on Facebook, on the threads with these debates that go on. You know, it's just like, pound, 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 this doctrine, 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 doctrine. But no one's ever trying to really edify. They're just trying to prove their point rather than actually teach. And part of teaching is understanding who you're talking to. And then relaying that in a way that they can understand it, seasoning the meat appropriately. And then I'm going to finish back up in Hebrews chapter 13. And this is, with regard to speaking with the lost and babes in Christ and just one another, Hebrews 13:9. Something I feel that does need to be kept in mind by those who are learning to understand their Bible and people who are excited to get this word out to people. But be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I feel, and I've been as guilty as anyone in this, that I've gotten really caught up in some strange and diverse doctrines, either trying to prove them right, trying to prove them wrong. And my heart has not been established with grace. I've been trying to establish my mind with meat. And as it says, has not profited me when I was occupied with such matters. That's my message for the day. But I feel it's very timely. I feel that in your own time, look at Romans 14 in light of this salted meat. I feel it really shines some great light on how we're supposed to handle the Word of God, that we not handle it deceitfully, and how we handle our brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe, I guess we'll say younger, as babes in Christ, and how to walk and speak with them that are without. Let your conversation be alway with grace, seasoned with salt.